Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this day which celebrates the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and today we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke. Please stay with us, and we will be right back. Vacation Bible School is a great experience for young children and a perfect environment for them to learn more about the tenets of their faith. Our Lady of Perpetual Help Parish will host a one-week Vacation Bible School beginning July 9th in the Parish Hall for students in 1st through 5th grades. Classes are held from 8:30 a.m. till noon, Monday through Friday. This year's theme is a wilderness adventure through the sacraments. The modest tuition, which includes snacks and a Bible school t-shirt, is reduced for additional students from the same household. For information on registration, please call 361-991-7891. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. Greetings to everyone who's listening today.
Yes. Well, you know, today's gospel or celebration today, because it's the solemnity of the Nativity of St. John the Baptist, and I don't recall us celebrating that.
Well, we always celebrate it. It's
on
the
date.
Right, on the Sunday, no. But on the date is June 24th, and that's the feast of his birth. We also have the celebration of his death. So both of these solemnities, we call them solemnities, which means that they are, as far as our liturgy goes, they're at the same level as a Sunday or as Easter. Mm-hmm. And so when the 24th of June comes up on a Sunday, then it takes precedent over the Sunday liturgy, which would have been an ordinary time. So
Right. It's
a bit unusual, but it's also a reminder to all of us of the importance of St. John the Baptist in the life of the church, in the life of Jesus, in the life of the beginning of the church, and also today. His person represents the announcement of Jesus and the announcement of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. And as we will hear, it is a beautiful gospel.
Yes.
So the gospel is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have a child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the 8th day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name," and all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came on all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What will this child be like? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the desert until that day of his manifestation to Israel. The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it is such a beautiful gospel. And, you know, what struck me, too, was the name John. And I really hadn't thought about it, but I, as I was preparing, I didn't know that the word John meant the Lord has shown favor. So no wonder people were shocked when they heard that name.
shocked, but also the fact that he was able to give, that Elizabeth was able to give birth, because remember, she was in her old age.
Right.
And so the Lord had promised her, Lord God had promised her this this child. So they were shocked at the fact that she and Zechariah had a child, but also that the name was not the traditional junior, we would call it, you know, the father's name, taking on
right.
the father's name, but that he would be called John, being gifted with favor, so, or with grace, and obviously then designated or destined to have a role in the salvation of humankind. So it is something that we should take note of. And I also want to say a greeting to all the parishioners at St. John the Baptist Parish here in Corpus right. Christi. I'll actually be there today celebrating Mass with them. So it's a great pleasure to be with, there on their, with them on their feast day.
Right, right. Well, and there were, as it alluded to toward the end of the Gospel, there were so many parallels between the lives of John the Baptist and Jesus.
Well, there are parallels, certainly. And one of them is that John, of course, is the one who is to prepare
right.
the way for Jesus's ministry and the announcement of the gospel. So in preparing them, he certainly wants to prepare their hearts. And I thought it was interesting in the gospel where it said, all who heard these things took them to heart. When something as dramatic as this happens, people, of course, with their minds cannot totally comprehend what's going on. But a number of people, many people, took these to heart, which means they're waiting. I think, you know, mm-hmm. the whole virtue of hope, the theological virtue of hope, is something that we should all be very conscious of. We do not have all the answers, surprising to many. We can't legislate answers. So there is something that's different in John, and he's pointing to the one who would bring the Word of God and be the Word of God, and also bring God's love and message and mercy to all people. So it's obvious that when John was speaking in preparation for the coming of the Lord, that he would do so strongly, but also to open people's hearts. And that's definitely what's needed today as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And it even goes before that, because we remember the gospel from way before, where Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, and when she does visit Elizabeth, the baby was jumping for joy inside the womb, knowing that Mary was carrying the Messiah. So even before his birth.
Yes, and this obviously shows the grace connection, if we can say it that way, between mm-hmm. John and Jesus, that who Jesus is and what he was bringing was something new. The fullness of revelation, the fullness of redemption was coming. And so it was not just the announcement of a special guy down the street. It was something that was going to happen and would certainly cause many discomfort. And in fact, you know, John is really, you might say, one of the last prophets as far as proclaiming the coming of the Messiah and actually pointing to him. His ministry would certainly resemble that of the prophets, many of the prophets before him, in that his message would disturb their comfort level. All of us get into a certain pattern of thought. We get influenced by many messages. We pick and choose what we want to believe. But when John is proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, he's really piercing into your heart. It's not what you believe as far as your opinion, but what is the truth? What is the truth that will free you to be a true image of God in whom you are created? And so John's message, even calling a certain group brood of vipers, and speaking to tax collectors and speaking to soldiers, really telling them to change their ways. So disturbing them, disturbing the status quo, and calling them to be baptized for their sins. Of course, John had a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, to confess their sins. But it was a call to something new. And I do want to say to everyone listening, this is what's needed today, my dear friends. We have got to change our ways. The issues that we've seen this past few weeks with the issues on the border,
right.
with the migration or the immigration, But holding people hostage, especially children, separating them, and I know that's been remedied at least for now, and we thank God for that, but the inhumane treatment that we as a people give needs to be looked at. And I think this Feast of St. John the Baptist is an opportunity for us to look at what the role of a prophet is. A prophet is someone who lives among people, but also listens to a higher call, which is God, and listening and bringing the word of God to us, not trying to take over any kind of political power, but trying to reach men's and women's hearts, to say, is this what we want to be known for, in the sense of taking children from their parents, locking people in facilities? I'm trying not to be political. I don't want to be political in this situation, but I would plead to people's conscience, is this what we want? Beyond all the clamor and noise that's going on, left, right, liberal, conservative, whatever, beyond all of that, I'm talking about as a human being, as a Christian, who has the whole Word of God in front of us, and John the Baptist proclaims that as saying, look to what's coming. And we have that. The Bible is not a book, it's a person. Mm-hmm. Once we understand that the Bible is a person, not a book, it's the person of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Written in a book, yes, but we believe that through the Holy Spirit, that book is alive, and that it's we who take that into our lives and execute it in our daily life in every situation. And so I plead with the people of God, even those who are not Christian, but those people who just have a good conscience about human beings, that let's not get into creating situations that one day we will be sorry for, in the sense that we will be known to people as people who have hardened their hearts against people. John the Baptist spoke boldly, but he spoke to the heart. And that's what I do today in the name of God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the church. I want to speak to your hearts, all of our hearts. Let's not create a situation which is so hard that that this is what we will be known for. I know I don't want to be known for such actions, but let's work together to reform our systems, which badly need to be reformed. Mm-hmm. But also to do so with dignity for ourselves, but dignity for those people who are among us.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will continue our conversation. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
It's about 30 minutes from downtown Corpus Christi, 10 miles from Orange Grove, 14 miles from Mathis off FM 624, and it's now taking reservations. The much-anticipated Spirit Center at Blunzer on FM 3088 at FM 666 is now in full operation as a youth retreat center, a Catholic retreat facility which embraces people of other faiths. The Spirit Center, complete in every concept, is set in an environment of natural beauty and peace for the spiritual, educational, and social development of adults and youth. For more information and to make a reservation for your youth group, call Sister Michelle Marie Kuncher at 361-816-6567.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, as we've been talking about John the Baptist, I have this vision in my mind, because we've had so many Gospels and so many readings that that talk about how, of course, he was a prophet, but he looked a little different. He dressed differently and from people, and I just see him like this rugged outfit and strange hair, but mm-hmm. He was a prophet.
Well, yes, he was the last of the prophets, actually, in kind of the summation mm-hmm. of the prophets, because every prophet in the Old Testament is pointing to the Messiah and proclaiming the coming of the Messiah. And John was the last, as we believe that Jesus is that Messiah. So John points to Jesus as a prophet. I think, you know, in some ways for people to look at the description of John and wearing the hair shirts and the eating locusts and these kind of things, you really have to almost go to the desert in Palestine and Israel and to see the desert as it is. And there was a group, I may have spoken about this before, but a group called the Essenes, who were people who were in the final expectation for the coming of the Messiah. And so they withdrew from society, and they in the big towns, or this in the city of Jerusalem, and went into the desert and lived in caves up in the mountains. Some say that John the Baptist was an Essene, was part of this community. They lived as in community, kind of away from any kind of contamination, you might say, of the general society. He may have been. I don't think it's ever been proven, but in general, prophets had time in the desert, you know, where they would examine themselves, prepare themselves, and to live that way. But certainly, I think one of the things that we could say characteristically about John the Baptist was his humility. Living that kind of a lifestyle, he was not, of course, if someone like that walked through our streets today, they would draw a lot of attention to themselves, but he certainly did not want to draw attention to himself, but that his purpose, his mission was to point to the coming of the Messiah. In fact, he told people when they asked, he said, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit," meaning Jesus. When Jesus came to John himself, John to be baptized, John said, "I'm not worthy to do this. You should be, you know, baptizing me." And and so he had that a true sense of humility in himself, which, you know, I think all of us, again, with that virtue of humility, we need to look at that, because there's a strength in humility. We sometimes think that humility is a weakness, but in reality, it's a strength. Because humility brings us to the point in life where we are not spending our life protecting ourselves, protecting our reputation, protecting all sorts of things. We can allow the truth to stand on its own. We can do what we are called to do without any defense. So I think John certainly exemplifies that kind of humility to the point where in the Gospel of John, he says that he, meaning Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. So John's spirit and John's spirituality, you might say, was constantly looking for that point of decreasing his importance. And it was not because he was putting himself down, but in front of the one that increases, which is Jesus, God, he could see himself as decreasing, as being more humble, and in front of the truth, in front of Jesus, he needed to have that humility in order that his ego, if we can call it that in more psychological terminology, was not greater than Jesus himself. So his effectiveness as a prophet, as a proclaimer of the one coming, and also his validity or truthfulness as this person was in his humility. So John, in the way he dressed, the way he ate, the way he lived, but also in what he was proclaiming, does so with great humility.
And, you know, we have talked about this before on previous programs. The he must increase and I must decrease doesn't minimize the person at all. It just shows the humility. Talked about how we need to do that. Yeah. You know, it doesn't minimize who we are, but it just, God is more important.
Well, that's what I was pointing to. Yeah, you're right. And so the more one realizes who Jesus is, the more we understand who we are not.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because all of us, most people have a pretty good opinion of themselves. Sometimes we have too great of an opinion of ourselves. But when we face the other, who's God, and we become to understand who Jesus really is, we realize who we are not.
Right.
And so it's taking away that false self and giving us our true selves so that we can be free to be who we truly are, not who we have created ourselves to be mm-hmm. or who people think we are. So that whole phrase there, that he must increase, I decrease, is simply coming to the truth of who he is mm-hmm. and who we can be too. So that's the true gift of humility, not being less or not putting ourselves down, but being who we are.
Right, right. So it's, I personally think it's wonderful that we, that this June 24th fell on a Sunday so that we could discuss John the Baptist.
Sure.
And
yeah.
the role that he played, because it was a huge role.
Yes, it is. And I think, you know, another thing coupled with humility, the other thing I'd like to just bring out to all of us, because of the world we live in, when we encamp ourselves in a certain ideology, we weaken ourselves because that's all we know. Mm-hmm. We're not open. I think we need to think about these things. And I'm not here certainly to point fingers at anyone or any group or anything, but I'm talking from the point of view of the gift of Jesus that's been given to us, that John the Baptist had that humility. He grew in that humility. And in the humility, he also found courage. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, he also stood up to Herod, who had married his brother's wife. And John the Baptist was, of course, Herod was attracted to John the Baptist and his message, because there was something, again, in his own heart that he knew was not right, that he was disturbed about. And when John the Baptist came and told him that you have, it's not right for you to marry your brother's wife, he knew that was true. And evil, of course, that was placed in the wife's heart, it cost John his life. Mm-hmm. But there was something about John's message in his humility, but also in his courage to proclaim it, that hit the truth of Herod. Of course, John, we know, that was beheaded because of that, but he was not shy about speaking the truth. I think if we really looked at life and the true meaning of being a person, it is that we can be more courageous the more humble we are. Now, that might sound a bit strange to many people and even some of our listeners, but if you take some time to think about it, because the more ego we have, the louder we get, the more vocal we become, and at times we get so entrenched in that one way of thinking that we can't get out of it. We've made such an issue of it, and it has to get bigger and bigger and bigger until the truth wins out and it collapses. So I would say to all of us, let's look, first of all, before we enter into issues, such as the issues we're facing here in South Texas especially, but throughout the country, let's, first of all, as disciples of Jesus Christ, let's first of all seek humility in the Word of God. Seek humility in the person of Jesus. It was always John's humility was a result of himself being in front of the truth, was Jesus. He didn't, you know, win his own humility. It was because he understood the power of Jesus Christ. That's what created in him the joy of meeting Christ and seeing who he truly was. I always think that when John started, he was probably, I'm not sure I would want to be around him. He was probably a little incorrigible. But at a certain point, as he became that follower closer and closer with Jesus, he began to see, this is the one, not me. And so he could say that beautiful sentence, he must increase, I decrease, in the third chapter of St. John. He pointed to Jesus, that's the one, that's the one. And from that, he found his humility, not on his own, but in relation to the truth, who is Jesus Christ. And so I would say for us on this Sunday, on this feast of St. John the Baptist, let's seek that humility in all situations, but especially in the division, the rancor, the noise, and the lack of compassion at times for people in our own situation, in our own families even, but let's seek humility. Let's listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus, and then we can be courageous. Then the more empty we are of ourselves and the opinions that we tend to latch on to, the more humble we are, the more courageous we can become in assisting people, in helping people, and especially as we've seen these innocent children who are now back with their parents again, thank God, but let's not let something like that happen again. I think we need to be courageous, and the more courageous we are, the more humble we can become, as John the Baptist.
Mm-hmm. Well, and as you've said before, and we all know, Jesus is about love and compassion.
Yes, well, that's his life, is to show the compassion and love of God, and that's our mission in him as well. Mm-hmm. And there are certain situations that come up that we may not like, but regardless, that mission that we all have is the same. It doesn't change because of circumstances.
Right. Well, thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Well, God, who raised up St. John the Baptist to make ready a nation fit for Christ the Lord, give your people, we pray, the grace of spiritual joys, and direct the hearts of all the faithful into the way of salvation and peace. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.